Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call and talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Food allergies are a lot more common now than they were even a generation ago. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released a study in 2013 showing that food allergies among children increased approximately 50% between 1997 and 2011. That covers everything from soy and gluten allergies to severe peanut sensitivities. How do you cook for someone who has a food allergy? Well, Christina Davis, demo coordinator for the Healthy Living Market and Cafe in Saratoga Springs, knows a thing or two about this. She has a son with a severe life-threatening food sensitivity and has built her culinary career around it. In addition to her duties at Healthy Living Market and Cafe, she's the founder and editor of From Scratch Club, a large group of home cooks, gardeners, and food advocates. They have a podcast on iTunes, a virtual cook-along book club, and a blog. So let's talk about how to cook for someone who has food allergies. Almost everybody knows somebody, and maybe you have them yourself. How do you get around them? Give us a call now. The number to call, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And again, Christina Davis, not a doctor. This is not for medical questions pertaining to allergies. It's a practical show. It's about how to cook, make tasty things, quick things, things that are practical and that you can do. And kids, let's face it, kids can be a tough audience and a tough bunch to cook for. I speak from experience. Now, you can also post your comments on today's website page. It's our Vox Pop show page, wamc.org/VoxPop. There's a spot for today's show. You can comment there. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. There will be a Vox Pop wall post there. You can tweet us at WAMC Radio using the hashtag Vox Pop, and you can email voxpop@wamc.org. Once again, the number is 1-800-348-2551. Christina, it's a long introduction.
Yeah.
I apologize. Half the show's over, but at least we got
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic.
Well, you know, you do what you can. Now, tell us how you got involved and how this hit your radar so in such a huge way.
Yeah, quite abruptly, may I say. My son was born in January of 2009. He just turned 6, Miles. And around 2 months into his life, we started realizing, or seeing, I should say, large welt-like, I would say, hives, bumps on his body.
Yikes.
All over his eyes.
At what age?
8 weeks.
Oh, God. And so you, a child that cannot communicate with you.
Correct. Which is one of the most,
terrifying.
I would say that was terrifying and most painful part. Is that he can't just say, "Mommy, I'm itchy," or "Mommy, my throat's closing," or "Mommy." And so this was from, he was breastfeeding at the time. This was from probably a combination of obviously getting some food proteins through my breast milk, but also contact. So when Miles, from that time until he was around 3, he had, he was that typical bubble boy type situation where no one could be in the room with him if they had nuts or if
wow.
they had dairy. They couldn't touch him if they had those sort of food proteins on their
anywhere
skin.
Near him. Wow.
Yeah, his eyes would start to swell. He'd get hives all over his body. His ears would swell. That's sort of his keynote. Swelling was his ears, and so we started the journey of figuring out what was going on with our son. It's a long, windy road, especially
yeah.
the first year and a half. But what I quickly realized was, as people said more and more, like, maybe this is food related, I realized, I'm 33 years old. I've spent most of my glorious adult life in large cities enjoying restaurants and, you know,
yeah.
eating that way that I said, there's that room in my house. Oh, the kitchen. Oh, I guess I should learn where food comes from, what food is made of, and how to cook. And so that sort of started my journey.
So really, that's how you started to
Seriously,
cook?
Seriously,
yes. And so now you are something of an expert on this.
Sure. yes.
By the
thank
premise,
you.
By the gag.
Yes,
you're on
thank
the show.
You, thank you.
And for as a side note here, your kid's name is Miles Davis.
So he has my husband's last name. So
How perfect would that have been?
Well, he's named after Miles Davis, so yes. But he has my husband's last
name. That's a beautiful
thing. I didn't
change
my name.
So Christina Davis is our guest today. We talk about ways in which you can cook food allergies, not just for kids, but,
no.
but for anybody. But kids are such a tough audience.
Correct. And I think as a parent or a caregiver, you have lots of challenges, especially when you're a first-time parent. But in general, you have all these struggles in general with being a parent, whether you work or not. Any sort of illness, they bump their knee for the first time and you're sort of got that, nervousness. So I think to put food allergies on top of it, because it's really black and white. It's a life-threatening food allergy. So the stakes are very high. So it really adds an element of stress. And so a lot of what I've done with the food allergy community is be a support, be someone that people can talk to and sort of shoot ideas off of and just give them ideas, whether it's just like, okay, my son has a dairy allergy. He loves pizza. And so a lot of it is just triage. It's a bunch of like, well, let's talk about all the different flavors that can be on pizza that doesn't include cheese.
Yeah. And we've had pizza guys on this show. And believe me, that always comes up.
Yeah, it really does. And I know. And, and we can, a lot of the conversation is about, non-dairy cheese isn't necessarily cheese. It's still wonderful in its own way. It's not going to taste the same. So let's branch out and talk about other flavors.
Yeah.
And so a lot of what I do day to day, especially at Healthy Living, is giving guests that come in the support. Say I'm here when you need me. You can contact me by email, any which way. But let's just get some basics. What does your kid like to eat? Let's get to it.
And how can you do it fast?
Correct. And I have to say within... Miles just turned 6. So, but from him really turning 1 until now,
yeah.
I mean, I can't speak with more emotion than to say like the food world has changed, right? So it's a supply and demand issue. When 5 years ago, there was barely any food allergy friendly food, like mm-hmm. convenient foods right off the shelf, shelf stable, non-dairy milks. Now the world is filled with all of these other choices. So it's still tremendously stressful, and the day-to-day cooking for food allergic people is still stressful and a challenge. But there are a lot of choices out there, which is wonderful.
Well, that's capitalism for you.
Yes. Well, exactly. Exactly. 5 years ago, there wasn't necessarily the demand. And obviously, as you said at the beginning of the show, food allergies are on the rise and being diagnosed. And so there's a demand, and now they're going to supply it.
But you are a classic example of somebody who took an immense challenge at an immensely challenging time, having a newborn,
yes.
and turning it into a real plus. So you brought some food today.
I did. I brought 3 recipes that I think are near and dear to a lot of our guests' heart at Healthy Living. Over the past 2 years, I sample a lot of recipes out, and these are 3 that I think for people even without food allergies they've enjoyed. All of these are like top 8 allergen free. I've got a quinoa Waldorf salad.
Oh, nice.
No bake energy bite, and an avocado pesto hummus.
Wow. And I should tell you, Christina, that as soon as food is mentioned, our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, just slides in the room, and she's here once again. She wasn't here last week when we had the pie show, and boy, did you miss out.
I was going to say you missed out.
So we'll have some food here. Let's take a call, and then we'll take a break and start breaking out the food, and then we'll take some more calls. Let's
go
to Jean in Woodstock. Jean, you're on.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm not a child, but I got an adult onset allergy for citrus. I can't eat anything that has got lemon or grapefruit or orange in it. I wind up looking like I have a severe case of conjunctivitis and finally got tested and found out it's a citrus allergy. I wonder, since I'm an adult, if that's something that will go away or is there anything, there's so many recipes that call for lemon. Is there anything that I can substitute it for?
Okay, well, the second part, I'm sure you're going to be all over.
Yes, I'm all over the second part.
Okay.
Unfortunately, yeah, I'm not a doctor, and so I can't really speak to whether or not you're going to grow out of it at any time. I do know, just from experience and talking to a large group of people, that people can develop allergy at any time, and you also lose them. My son had multiple food allergies at birth, or when we finally diagnosed them, peanuts, tree nuts, dairy, sesame, pea protein,
wow.
soy, and he's lost almost all of them except for dairy.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing.
Nuts, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So there is hope. And I think the science has more funding behind figuring out food allergies, that there could be solutions besides strict avoidance.
So what about cooking?
Yeah. So citrus, I mean, what you're looking for mostly with that citrus is an acid. So you can always use a vinegar. That's what I would say if you're seeing a lot of recipes for lemon. It's probably to sort of bump up the acid. And so you could just use a vinegar for that.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Gene, thanks a lot. Our number to call here, by the way, is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Christina Davis with the Healthy Living Market and Cafe in Saratoga Springs. Also, the From Scratch Club, which is an interesting thing in itself. I guess that's for another show.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Food swaps, blogging, local food, absolutely.
So you're all over the place. All right. I'll tell you what. We will take a break. And then we'll eat some food. And we'll take some more calls, your emails, and whatnot. It's Vox Pop. It's a Food Friday. 1-800-348-2551. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Saratoga County Tourism, featuring the 6th Annual Saratoga County Restaurant Week, March 20th to 29th, saratoga.org. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world, wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. And Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche, qfcc.com.
Oh boy, this is working out. 1-800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. Christina Davis is here, and we talk about cooking for those with food allergies. And you laid out some food here.
I did.
And
I'm guilty.
Okay, so a Waldorf salad.
Yep, with quinoa. Cooked quinoa. So it has your typical raisins, celery. I use toasted sunflower seeds instead of walnuts. You know, I miss walnuts, but sunflower seeds, delightful, correct? I used vegan mayo, a nice soy-free.
It's totally delightful.
Thanks.
It's really nice. And it's, you don't need the walnuts. Who knew?
Who knew? Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what else do we have here?
I have a no-bake energy bite, which is really great. You can shape it into little, circular bite size. You can press them into balls. It's a no-bake recipe. They're sunflower seed butter, unsweetened shredded coconut, mini chocolate chips. I used a top 8 allergen-free chocolate chip, honey or maple syrup, some ground flaxseed, chia seeds, cinnamon, vanilla extract, and some certified gluten-free oats.
Okay, I'm going to need this recipe, not because I have an allergy. I've never had one. This is amazing.
Thanks.
I thought it had peanut butter in it.
Yeah, it's the sun butter. I mean, the sunflower seed butter is a classic substitution because it does really have that sort of deep nutty flavor that people like. And so that's an easy substitution, which is great. And kids love them. And it's a fan favorite at the store when I'm out doing events in public with other kids.
Do you keep them chilled most of the time?
I do.
Yeah.
Yep.
I would think that kids would go crazy over this.
Yeah.
My kids would go nuts.
Right. Allergies or no allergies.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the really fun part about food allergies, I think. Fun food, fun in the way that you get to explore other flavors. And because there is a whole world out there of flavors and food and ingredients and products. So it's exciting to be able to find something and create something that other people like that don't have to eat it.
To put these energy snacks in perspective, it tastes, if you didn't tell me this wasn't peanut butter, a peanut butter ball of some kind with coconut, I never would have known. I mean, it's just delicious. All right, what else is here?
What else do we got, Walter?
This looks like guacamole?
Yeah, sort of. It's avocado pesto. I made it a little thicker, so it's more like a dip today.
Mm.
It's one of my son's favorites. So it's simply olive oil, salt, and pepper. I use Meyer lemons. You know, we're at the tail end of this citrus season, so I use Meyer lemons. And avocados.
Wow, that's
good. And hemp hearts. I used hemp hearts instead
of that. Hemp hearts?
Instead of that traditional like pine nuts.
You're
going
to have to tell me
nuts.
What a hemp heart is because I don't know what that is.
Hemp seed, I'll say. How about that?
Okay,
the heart
enough.
Of a hemp seed.
Very delicious. All right, here's one. We'll go back to the phones in a minute. Josh and New Paltz, hang in there. Here are a couple quickly from email, Christina.
Great.
First time, long time, love the show. Good. That's good.
Yay.
Way. You butter us up, you get in the show. An earlier caller asked about citrus. My 9-year-old daughter often suffers from the colic. I've heard that if I put the lime in the coconut and have her drink them both together, then she'll feel better. Is there any truth to that? That's an old song, you know.
I it is an old song.
Yeah.
I actually have no idea about that.
Really?
That sounds delicious, but I have no idea if that would calm colic or not.
It's possible that this listener was pulling our chains. All right, so let's go on to Amy in New Paltz. Question for you, Christina Davis. I have been diagnosed with the alpha-gal mammalian meat allergy caused by a bite from a specific species of tick, the Lone Star tick. It causes a severe allergic reaction 3 to 5 hours after consuming mammalian meat, beef, pork, lamb, venison, etc., from a carbohydrate found in meat and dairy. I'm trying to relearn how to cook without meat and would love some vegan recipes that are hearty. Can you do that?
Well, fantastic. You have to come visit me at Healthy Living Market and Cafe up at Wilton Mall because I have a program. I have two programs at the store.
Yeah.
One being culinary consultation, where you can book a 20 to 30 minute free consultation with me. And that's exactly what I do. I'm not a dietitian or a nutritionist, but I basically search out recipes for you. I not only search out recipes, but ingredients and or frozen food, you know, convenience food that will be safe for you to eat.
Yeah. Are you a vegan?
I am not.
Okay.
So you can definitely come see me about that. And the other program that I run at Healthy Living Market is the Special Diet Support Group, where anyone can come. And it does not have to be necessarily medical special diet. It could be like you're vegan by choice. But you can come see me. It's a support group. It's 1 hour, like a Tuesday or Wednesday night, depending, once a month. And we can also chat then. So, yeah, there's lots of vegan recipes. And that store is great for vegan.
All right. We'll put the lime in the coconut. Go back to the phones.
Love
Josh
it.
In New Paltz. Josh, you're on.
All righty. Thank you. I don't have food allergies. I don't know anybody.
Good for you.
You know, it's kind of...
Good.
Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
All right. You know, it's kind of amazing. You know, I've been listening and I've kind of really connected with, you know, a lot that you're saying. I understand it and I love cooking myself. My main question really would be, I mean, what's your opinion as far as, you know, how does things like this happen? You know, I know you're not a doctor, but you know,
how do allergies
time,
happen?
I mean, does that happen? You know, I mean, I love eating, I love cooking, you know, and it amazes me that, you know, there are people out there that can enjoy certain things.
Okay. Well, again, Christina's not a doctor.
I'm not.
Or a research scientist.
I'm not.
Maybe you are.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It would be fabulous if I was.
You know, she's got great information.
She certainly does.
You know,
sure.
I'm sure she's got an opinion. You know?
All right.
Sure, Josh. What I would just say is like the... I guess my best answer to that question is going to be, why is there more increased rates of cancer or children getting leukemia or all of those things?
I,
my guess is that it's a multifaceted. There's,
you know,
factors
crazy.
That are happening. And, you know, and I hope and believe that there's a lot of funding out there for food allergies.
Yeah.
And to figure reasons out.
We could speculate all day long about it, but... It's not our show.
Correct.
I mean, we're not an allergist.
Exactly. And
but you cook a nice energy thing there. Whatever
thank you.
Energy ball, whatever that is. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Christina Davis is our guest from the Healthy Living Market and Cafe in Saratoga Springs. We talked today generally about preparing things for those with allergies and doing it, A, practically, B, cost-effective. It can be expensive, can't it?
It can. I mean, I think it's a larger question on what food really costs in this country, which to me is a larger, broader subject that we could have a chat on later.
All right, fair enough.
Especially
I have time.
Local...
Go ahead. I'm eating Waldorf salad. Feel free.
You know, such as why, you know, some people would claim that the vegetables at the farmer's market is more expensive. So I think it is a larger question on why do we expect food to be I don't want to use the word cheap, but inexpensive.
Well, what I'm saying...
And I know. And so, yes. So, for... Yes. So, non-dairy milks tend to be more expensive, right? So, you know, top 8 allergen-free chocolate chips are more expensive. Yeah. I mean, I think you have to utilize sales a lot. I think you have to utilize buying in bulk. Like, we do a case discount at Healthy Living. I'm sure other places do as well. I think buying in bulk departments... can be a solution for many people, and whether that's buying it right out of the bulk bins or buying literally like 10-pound bags of gluten-free certified oats. You actually buy in bulk.
But is that now, when taking yourself back 6 years, when you had a newborn, that was you, that when you said, my, I have all these pressures, I just had a baby, I'm going out of my head anyway, and now I have to deal with this, that's how you dealt with it?
Yeah, I mean, when he started eating solid foods, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, again, even though it sounds like a blink of an eye, 5 years ago, there wasn't as many convenience foods out there. And so I really took it upon myself to learn how to cook and how to make food fun. I mean, that's a whole other, you know, discussion we can have is, you know, with Miles and him being aware of food and so incredibly aware of food. He eats some really fun food. He's got a great palate. He knows what food looks like. He knows what a kohlrabi looks like.
Does he ever say, hey, look, this is not happening for me. I do not like this.
Oh, my God, absolutely. All the time. He's still a kid. And now that he's in kindergarten, you know, we also have the pressures of him seeing what other kids eat. So, absolutely. He gets to eat... If frozen chicken nuggets are safe for him, he absolutely gets to balance it by having those kind of foods. Absolutely. It's balanced.
Good. So he gets the processed food anyway.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, thank God for that.
There's balance.
All right,
absolutely.
Let's go back to the phones. Sam, you're on with Sam and Beckett. You're on with Christina Davis.
Hi. I lead wilderness trips for youth, and we encounter a fair number of different food allergies. One thing is that when we bake with soy nut butter or sun nut butter, it turns green.
Correct.
And it still, like, tastes fine, and everything seems like it's normal. It just, like, turns, you know, like, whatever we bake with it.
Really?
It does, yes.
Yeah. So that's great for St. Patrick's Day.
It is.
Unfortunately passed, but I'll remember that.
Correct.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah. And I was just wondering if you knew why that was.
That's such a good question I don't have the answer to. We would have to look, we'd have to, you know, search that, because I did know at one time. My assumption, I did used to know the answer. I can't pull it off the top of my head. But sunflower seeds change chemically when they're heated. And so I think that combined with maybe the sugar turns it green. There's some sort of chemical reaction that happens when heating it.
You know, this answer works for me, and I'm giving you a pass because the energy balls are so delicious. Sam, thank you very much for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Here's one that came in via email. This is from Mark. Do you have any recipes for people who'd like to enjoy some of the flavors of seafood but who have seafood allergies? Also, what ingredients do you recommend to create a seafood flavor without using actual seafood? Well, there's a puzzler. Go ahead. I'll have some more food. No, I got time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We got 30 minutes.
Yeah.
All right.
So seafood taste without seafood.
Wow. Yeah, seriously. Well, I know in the store that we do have non-seafood in our store. I mean, there are products that are out there.
All right, so what's it made out of?
I cannot speak on that.
Really?
Because I haven't looked at the ingredient list.
So it's a vegetable product?
Yeah,
okay.
It's a vegetable product. So we have canned tuna fish that is vegan.
You're kidding me.
No, correct. And I have to say, again, I am representing Healthy Living Market here today, and the store does a really wonderful job trying to cater to all diets. Like, we really go out of our way to sort of search out ingredients for folks. And one of those is vegan tuna fish, and we do have that in a can.
So I guess our answer to Mark is such a thing exists. It's a mystery, but it exists.
It does, yes.
All right, fair enough. Let's go over to Sheila in Lenox, Mass. Hi, Sheila, you're on.
Oh, hi. should I give my question?
Oh, you can. I'm going to eat,
okay.
So you go ahead.
Okay, I have a wheat allergy, and I travel a lot, and I'm going to Europe for about 7 weeks. And my question is, what can I take along that doesn't add pounds and pounds to my luggage if I get to a city or town that just doesn't have, we'll say, gluten-free bread or things that I could eat, snacks and things like that? So traveling is a big issue for me because I do travel a lot, and I even get a something off the computer that I can give in a restaurant that says, you know, I say I'm gluten-free, but I'm really, it's a wheat allergy. So they understand in whatever language what I can't eat. So that's not a problem. It's like just having foods that I can eat when I'm in foreign countries, you know, that are easy, snacky things or breads, you know.
I think traveling is really hard with food allergies. It's definitely one of those challenges that we all face, whether we have the food allergy ourselves or someone in our family does. What I do with my son when we travel is we just pack, this sounds really simple, but we pack a lot of fruits and vegetables, which I know on a trip to Europe, it's not quite the best packable snack, but you can find fruits and vegetables wherever you go, and those are sort of always safe. You know, you don't have a nut allergy, and if you find, you know, I think nuts is a great travel snack because it is protein packed. I mean, I can't pack it for my son or myself, but to me, nuts is a great one. Dried fruits, any of those sort of things. What do you like to eat that you miss or that you want to travel with?
Well, you know, because we're going to be hiking and biking and things like that, we'll want to pack some lunches to take along. So usually I'll pack a peanut butter sandwich or, you know, because I can eat anything else, including dairy. It's just the wheat that's the problem, you know. I remember once that there's a company, I think, that you could order breads that are sealed, you know, and they won't get bad, and I don't remember the company that I once ordered it from, and that helped me a lot because then I could just open up the package and I know it's not going to go bad, you know.
You know, what I would suggest is, you know, if you're not close to us in Saratoga Springs, find your local natural food store. I mean, these stores are catered around special diets, and they will be able to direct you to not only ingredients but products in the store that you can safely travel with and that are safe and that are wheat-free. I mean, you know, obviously I'd like you to come to Healthy Living Market if you're in Massachusetts or wherever you are. Like, find your local natural food store. They are, you know, a lot of the people that work in these stores are experts. They want to help people with special diets.
I mean, I've never really heard of people traveling with that much food over to Europe. Is that common? You bring a couple of bushels of apples with you on the plane? I never heard about this. Jennifer in Red Hook. Jennifer, you're on.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a baking question for you.
Sure.
My daughter doesn't have an allergy, but she's got a metabolic condition. It's called phenylketonuria. So she has to eat a very, very low-protein diet. And we've been so fortunate in today's day and age with so many diets out there, the gluten-free has been just a boon for us. But what I find is that I'm finding more and more gluten-free options on every grocery counter shelf. If I look at the box and it says 1 gram of protein or 2 grams of protein, it's pretty possible that she's going to be able to eat it. But my problem is that most of the times it's coming in the form of like a mix. So let's just say, for example, I recently found a brownie mix for her. It was only 1 gram of protein. It's gluten-free. But you're supposed to mix egg into it in order to complete the recipe. And the egg addition would be way too high in protein for her to actually metabolize. So what would be a good alternative for egg in a mix like that?
Okay.
This is a great question. I was hoping to get an egg substitute question today. You can do a flax, what's called a flax egg, or a chia seed egg, and that would be two for a flax. You could do 2 tablespoons of ground flax with, I believe it's 3 tablespoons of warm water. And the ratio for chia, I think, is 1 tablespoon to 3 tablespoons of warm water. And you mix those together and you let them, both flax and chia, gelatinize. And so they actually make a little tiny little egg.
Really?
Yep. And so that's really common because it's flavorless and it gives you all those good omegas.
Can you cook with it?
Yeah, and so that's a cook. Yeah, so then you
and omega 6s are in both of those. My only concern would be the protein part, because typically speaking, legumes and seeds and nuts and anything like that would be high in protein.
So you can use applesauce.
An applesauce instead of egg?
Yep. I don't know the specific ratio, but you can search it and find the ratio for that.
just kind of start exploring with it.
Yeah,
maybe do like a visual equivalent. So like one egg might be a cup or a quarter cup of
might not be that simple. And so, of course, now in this electronic day and age, Christina is actually trying to search it as we speak. But what I'll do
is awesome.
Yeah, if you could listen out,
yes,
she'll try to. We got a break coming up. Maybe she'll find it during the break, and then she can answer that question for you, Jennifer.
I appreciate it. What is the egg actually doing in a mix like this? Is it kind of like acting as a fluffy? Is it
it's
like making it denser, and is it holding it together? Is it making it fluffier, or what
it's...
is the, when we add egg to mixes like this? What is it supposed to do?
Yeah, it's a binder.
Okay.
It's a binder. And hold on. We might actually come to
all right,
the
I'll tell you what. Okay, she's got it.
I've got it. I thought it was a quarter cup, and I'm correct. So you can use a quarter cup of canned pumpkin, canned squash, applesauce, any sort of pureed fruit you can use.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah,
you can't
omit it, so you need to use it, so you have to use something like that.
Okay.
Right.
There you go.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jennifer. We'll take a break here. We're joined today by Christina Davis on this Food Friday. Interesting program. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be back with more calls, emails, and whatnot coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more, harolds.com. The Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio, presenting a range of programming for the arts and community, thelinda.org. And Terrapin Restaurant, Rhinebeck, celebrating Hudson Valley Restaurant Week with 2- and 3-course prefix dinner menus through Sunday, excluding Saturdays, terrapinrestaurant.com.
One 800 348 2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. We talk with Christina Davis, who's demo coordinator for the Healthy Living Market and Cafe in Saratoga Springs, and specifically one with a great deal of experience with cooking for someone with a very severe bunch of food allergies, which thankfully some are gone, but some remain.
Correct.
And so it's been a challenge for you. By the way, you showed me a picture of your 6-year-old son. Looks like a fairly healthy fellow.
He loves to eat.
He loves to eat. And so you've learned so much about this. And so the From Scratch Club, ties into this to some extent. So tell us what this From Scratch Club is.
It's part of the journey. From Scratch Club is a blog. It started as a blog, and we have multiple contributors all over the capital region. I think at one time we have 30.
Mm-hmm.
It covers everything from local food to food policy, mostly recipe-based and a lot of DIY. So like how to tap the maple trees in your backyard and make maple syrup.
You can do that?
Yeah, you can. Absolutely. We've got tutorials abound on From Scratch Club. How to make your own vanilla extract. And so to rewind a little bit, when Miles finally got the diagnosis, or at least some of the picture when he was around one year old,
mm-hmm.
Again, because I was learning to cook, I was anxious, and so I called a bunch of friends and said, hey, let's meet up once a month for coffee and talk about recipes. I want you guys to teach me how to cook. And so those coffee talks turned into, hey, why don't we try to share recipes? Do we email? Oh, wait. Oh, the blog. Oh, what's a blog? And so I had sort of missed that whole blog. So I was like, oh, what is that? It really started naturally like that. It just started where we started sharing recipes privately. Back and forth, and then we said, hey, I bet you other people can really use these recipes and enjoy them.
See, isn't that one of the great advantages of this age of social media that we live in?
I think it's wonderful.
In the old days, it was people gathering around and word of mouth, and now it can spread so much faster, and you get so much more input. It's nice.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, the farmers I've met, the food producers I've met, the folks at farmers markets, just you name it, food allergy families, like the whole gamut of anyone who's passionate about food and what they put in their mouth and just local economy. I mean, it hits, food hits your whole life. You know, it's not just what you eat. You know, it's a whole other commodity. And
how do you find out about the From Scratch Club?
At FromScratchClub.com.
Oh, very simple.
Yep. And on Facebook, we're at From Scratch Club. And we're also on Instagram, From Scratch Club.
Instagram too, eh? Well, you got to take pictures of food, right?
Yeah, we do have to take pictures of food. Yep. And we have food swaps that we do in Troy and Albany and mostly in Saratoga now. We have lots of different ways to get involved.
All right, here are two from email. This is from Julie. Great show. Again, butter up the guest and the host. You always get in. In the 1980s, I was an organic farmer and opened a farm-to-table cafe in 1990 in the foothills near Seattle. I grew seasonal salad greens, edible flowers, gourmet baby vegetables, heirloom tomatoes, and a wide variety of medicinal and culinary herbs for the big produce brokers in Seattle. I also taught classes on making and using herb vinegars for a friend with a citrus allergy.
Awesome.
I steeped lemon thyme in white wine vinegar. It was luscious.
Oh, my God. I love.
Well, I'll give you that one. You can save that.
Beautiful.
Use that. All right. You can have that printout.
Oh, here's, Julie, love it. That's a great idea.
All right, so now you got one for the From Scratch Club. All right, here's one from Kim in Pittsfield. For a little flavor, try powdered kelp or other sea vegetables, as long as allergies aren't too iodine. I make a delicious tuna salad sub with drained chickpeas and kelp, along with all the other ingredients one likes in a tuna salad.
This is exactly what I wanted for
the
show.
One too.
This is wonderful.
There
when people call in with their own tips and tricks and how they survive, and I love it because I don't. My son didn't have a seafood allergy. I don't encounter a lot of people that do.
Yeah.
And so I was sort of stumped with that question. And so what's great about
you'll
great
find
about
that
community. It's great.
It happens a lot on this show.
Love
if the
it.
Guest doesn't know, every listener knows.
And so. I love it. And that's what it should be. That's
all right,
great.
Let's go back to the phones. James in New York City. James, are you actually in New York City or are you from New York City?
I'm actually driving right now in New York City. I'm a truck driver.
All right, man. All right. You're on the air with Christina Davis.
Wait, just a quick question. I'm a highly tolerant dairy food. I can't even drink milk. And
Hey, James, I'm so sorry, my friend. The connection is bad. You're in and out. We can't even make out half of it. I hate that. And the guy calls from New York City, and we apologize for that. But sometimes the cell service, especially in an urban area, it can be tough. Apologize. Joanne in South Hadley. Joanna, you're on.
Hi there. I saw a program on a television show about xylitol, and it was talking about the fact that it had a no glycemic impact. I'm hypoglycemic, and I want to know to what extent you use xylitol in recipes.
I personally don't, but it is low glycemic. There's other choices for low glycemic, such as coconut palm sugar. That's another good choice for you.
Uh-huh.
But I've never personally used it at all. I do use coconut palm sugar, which is delicious.
Okay,
and
good.
It's fabulous.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Is it sweet, coconut palm
it's
sugar?
It's great. Yeah, it's delicious.
Really?
Yeah.
Where
it's
do you
almost
get something
like a
like
mix
that?
Of it tastes a little bit like a brown sugar in that kind of deep, it has that deep, rich kind of flavor.
But it has lovely. A low glycemic?
Correct.
Wow. I'll be darned. The things you learn here on Vox Pop. Annika in Winooski, Vermont, you're on.
Hello, my name is Annika. I live in Winooski.
Okay.
I'm allergic to apples, pineapple, coconut, bananas.
Oh, boy.
My son doesn't seem to be allergic to anything. I nursed both my kids for like two solid years, so they wouldn't have allergies. So they're like great. But my son came down last night. He's 16. He quit school. I'm like worried about his brain and his brain development. He told me, he said, I will only eat five things. I will eat broccoli. I will eat asparagus. I will eat pizza, I will eat. I mean, it's possible he has food allergies, but I've never had him tested. I will eat cheese pizza. I will eat Greek yogurt.
Hmm. Wow.
it's like, I don't know where he comes up with these things. He's like up in his room.
Yeah.
He never leaves his room. He has two computers. Oh, up boy. There, his father. Doesn't seem to like try and get him back out into the world, into the social life, into high school. I'm trying to get him back into high school.
Well, so, I'm not sure Christina can help you.
So I don't know if it's a food allergy problem. I don't know whether it's a social, you know, problem. We've never, you know, we've always just let him eat whatever he wanted to eat.
Well, at least he's eating his broccoli.
We never had him tested for allergies. I'm Italian. I've always eaten pasta my whole life. I've always eaten bread my whole life. I don't believe I'm allergic to these things.
Okay.
I could be allergic to these things,
well,
but
I
don't believe, you know, should I, like, go get myself more tested? Should I get him more tested?
Well, I think you should both get tested. I think that's
you think? That'd be good.
Yeah, listen, we got to roll along here, but thanks very much. Let's go over to Elizabeth in Northampton. Elizabeth, thank you. You're on.
Hi there. Hello.
Hi.
Sorry if you have touched on this earlier. I'm just tuning in, but I have a severe sesame allergy.
Okay.
I was wondering if you could make some suggestions on what to substitute for sesame in recipes, sesame oil, sesame seeds.
Oh, you can do. I would do any sort of seed. I mean, if you can do sunflower seeds, those are I think they have the flavor of a seed or a nut, and especially when you toast them, that really brings out the oils, that really gives you that deep flavor. So I would say sunflower seeds. You could also do pumpkin seeds. That's also great. Or you can do any, you could do, you know, hemp seeds, flax, chia. But those, you know, the flavor with those, is they're kind of neutral. So I would stick with going with a nice pumpkin or, you know, sunflower seed.
Same with the oil?
Yeah, with an oil, you could, I mean, if you don't have a nut allergy, there's lots of nut, you know, nut oils out there as well if you want that sort of flavor in your dishes. I would do a nut oil.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Now, I got to tell you, this guacamole-like stuff you brought is addictive. Tell me again what it is and what you make it with.
It's an avocado pesto. It's just got avocados, olive oil, lemon, salt and pepper, and hemp hearts.
And hemp, that's right. That's the thing with the hemp
seeds. Yep. It's just hulled hemp seeds.
And I'll be okay to drive after eating this?
You'll totally be okay to drive after it. And so I made it a little thicker. When we post the recipe, I put 3 avocados instead of 2 in it to make it more just like a dip.
It's very hearty.
It is really hearty. You can, the recipe that I have, that I'll have on the website, you can put over warm pasta, whether that be regular pasta or a gluten-free pasta such as corn or quinoa pasta. So it's a really nice dish. Or again, thicken it up and it's just a dip. My son eats it all the time. We were somewhere last night. He had to go to a party with me last night and there was a vegetable plate and he was loving his vegetables. But he turns to me and he's like, Mama, where's hummus? There's no hummus here. There's no salsa. And it was your typical like dairy, you know, sour cream based, like onion dip, which for the rest of us was like, yes.
Right. Well, you know, this gets to the point again. Kids, they're not shy about saying,
no,
I hate this. And
or it's not safe for me. I mean, he's.
Well, that's a separate issue. And that's what I'm driving at.
Yeah.
Even cooking for kids who don't have allergies can be a struggle.
Correct.
And then you add that other layer.
Correct.
And so you look very relaxed. I'm very amazed that you've maintained your composure here on the show. But then I realize it's no chore. You got to go home and cook dinner. What's on tap tonight?
Oh, I'm going out to dinner with a friend while I'm here in Albany.
Oh, I see.
My husband's on that duty tonight. I believe he's doing chili. So I believe he's making chili.
Okay. And there's no allergy issues with the chili?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. And he loves corn in his chili, so I'm sure he's going to ask Dada to make sure he puts corn in his chili.
Chili's good.
Food allergies are a challenge, but when you find other flavors that are either similar or other flavors that you didn't even know exist,
I've learned a lot.
There's a whole world of food out there.
Yeah. Hemp hearts? Who knew?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Where do you even get hemp hearts?
At your local natural food
store. So Healthy Living would have hemp hearts.
They would. Exactly.
Fascinating stuff. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-34. I'm still thinking about the poor kid in his room who only eats asparagus and broccoli.
Well, you know, the thing I would say about is it a food allergy, is it not, is that food allergies, you know, true diagnosable life-threatening food allergies have very particular signs of distress, which I will not go into because I'm not a doctor, but you would know if you had a food allergy. You would know that someone else. I mean, it is, you know, I hate to say it, but it's true. It's life or death. I mean, I carry double EpiPens with me wherever I go for my son and Benadryl.
Mm.
You know, and it is a concern in various different ways. If we go to restaurants, how it's prepared, what plate it's being put on, has it been shared with another plate that could have had butter on it? I mean, there's a lot. It's a complex issue. And so every day families and individuals have to navigate their way around the world.
And it blows my mind
having to worry about these issues.
How much it has grown. I mean, from
correct.
When I was a kid to now me having kids and going into the school and seeing big signs, no peanuts, no tree nuts here, nothing in the classroom, certain classrooms. It's just amazing.
Yeah. You know, I there's a post on From Scratch Club called Miles is My Canary in a Coal Mine. Yeah, I mean, it's growing and disease in general, right?
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, don't know, but.
All right, let's go to Elena in Bearsfield, Massachusetts. Bearsfield?
Gluten-free, right? Deerfield.
You're on. Oh, Deerfield.
Hey there. Yeah.
Says Bearsfield.
Could be that.
All right, go ahead.
I just have a quick question about rights. I've noticed that some is gluten-free, it's labeled gluten-free, and then others is not. And I've noticed that sometimes it does give an uncomfortable, it feels like it's a reaction when I don't, when it doesn't say gluten-free. Is there a reason why some rice is or is not gluten-free, or is it all gluten-free and it's just some products don't say that?
It's sort of a mix of everything. Rice is gluten-free, but there could be an issue where it's processed. So if it's processed in a facility that processes, you know, glutinous grains, then that could be an issue for you. If you find a rice or a company that produces the rice that's safe for you, I would continue to buy that. You can also call companies. I mean, that's what a lot of people have to do with food allergies, is call each individual company and ask them how exactly they process whatever food product they would like to buy, to figure out how it's processed, what else is run on that line, in what order are things run on each line. Like, do you do walnut, do you make walnut biscotti before or after you clean the, you know, clean the line to make chocolate chip biscotti? I mean, it's so it's sort of a complex issue, but I would definitely say, you know, check your labels and also just call the company.
Do your detective work.
Yep.
Thanks, Elena. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Denise in Rochester. Denise, you're on.
Hi. I just had a quick question about, well, two things. One is a quick question about the hemp seed that you use in the avocado, you know, with the avocado. I was just wondering, when I go to India, I know that women in India use, in the villages, they use hemp seed a lot in their cooking, in their food. I'm just wondering if it has any nutritional value or whether you use it just for the substance of it, whether, you know, the consistency. And then I just want to make a really quick comment, and I know this is not why you're on today, but the woman with the boy who is not eating, my son, actually, when he was young, had a varied diet. I made sure he ate very, very healthy. I always tell him this, very healthy foods when he was very little. And then when he got to be a teenager, he also had trouble with school, and he was down to eating like a cheeseburger was the only thing he would eat.
Yeah.
And it was very, very strange, but I would say that for her, I mean, this is just very quick advice, but check out other behaviors, you know, drug use,
okay,
you know, et cetera.
Fair enough.
Because it's, I mean, I just felt badly because I could relate to that.
No, I hear you. No, you're right.
He had a varied diet, and then he went down. So any changes in behavior with a teenager, you know, is worth checking out with other people as
right.
well.
Denise, we only have about 40 seconds for Christina to answer your question about
okay.
hemp.
Hemp nutrition. Honestly, I don't have a label here. I simply use it as a substitution. I mean, what I'm just trying to do when I talk to either fellow food allergy sufferers or just sampling recipes in the store, I'm just sort of trying out different flavors and different, you know,
okay.
ingredients for those recipes.
Okay.
I'm
right.
not a nutritionist.
All right. Well,
great.
Denise,
right,
thanks
thank
a
you.
Lot.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate you calling from Rochester. All right, Christina Davis, we're done. What do you think?
Love it. I want to come back.
You did well. You did well, and you brought the energy balls, which were delicious. How does one find out more about the Healthy Living Market and Cafe?
They can go to healthylivingmarket.com.
Okay.
And we have our free classes and our hands-on paid classes and support group and all different sorts of stuff. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
Cool. Well, you guys are really with it as far as the social media goes, as I've seen from all the tweets and the Facebook posts. Good job. Great job today. Thanks to everybody who called in. Thanks to Zach, our engineer, who did a great job. Your phones were answered by Mary Vetter. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Support comes from Sundog Siler at... No, start again, Ray. Slow down. Sundog Solar at Solaqua Power and Art, Chatham, New York, making power from sunlight. Solar electric on solar hot water sales and leasing. Spray foam and cellulose insulation. Spin your meter backwards. SundogSolar.net. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their new website with more information about membership, grants, and loans, so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. And Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Thanks again to Christina Davis of Healthy Living Market and Cafe. Thanks to you for listening. Hope you have had a great week. Have a lovely weekend. Alan will be back in the host chair on Monday at 2 for a Medical Monday.